Cryonics might be one way to live forever, but another method which has been thrown into the limelight thanks to President Obama's brain mapping project is brain emulation. This is the idea where a person's brain could be copied, perhaps neuron for neuron, and uploaded onto a computer. In this form, that person could hypothetically live forever. Michio Kaku is a theoretical physicist who's been looking into the possibilities and thinks this might be achievable within perhaps a generation or two. Hi, Michio.
Hello.
To start off with, could you take me through the various techniques? How would you copy someone's brain?
Well, the digital era has made possible several scenarios. The simplest one is to create a library of souls, whereby you take a person like Winston Churchill and calculate the total sum total of their credit card transactions, their videotapes, interviews, everything. You construct a hologram, which then gives you a reasonable facsimile of having a conversation with Winston Churchill. And as more digital information is compiled, your simulation gets better and better. So the library becomes a library of souls. But the big money, as you mentioned, is this billion-dollar initiative by the European Union and by President Barack Obama to create a connectome or a map of all the neurons of the brain, which in some sense will give us a duplicate of our dreams, our personality, our soul reduced to information. So in the future, we're going to have two disks. The first disk will be the genome, by which our genes can be reproduced forever. But the second will be the connectome with all the neural pathways of the human brain. And then when you die, your genome and your connectome live forever. And so this is a form of digital immortality.
We know how to map out someone's genome. How would you map out their brain, their connectome?
Well, there's several ways to do it. First is the slice and dice approach, which is very crude, very primitive, whereby you use a microscope and a razor blade and slice the brain. That's been done with fruit flies, for example, but it's very tedious. More recently is the optogenetics program coming out of Stanford University, whereby we can actually look at neural pathways for certain behaviors by lighting them up with the flashlight. This is amazing, using flashlights to basically work out the neural pathways of certain behaviors. And so we think that it's going to take many decades, but we will have a connectome with all the neural pathways of the human brain. And then the question is, well, who wants to live inside a computer? Rather boring, right? Living forever inside a computer. But you see, we will create surrogates. Surrogates are robots without a mind that have perfect bodies that can live on Mars, Jupiter, and are handsome, beautiful, gorgeous, immortal. And then the connectome of the computer communicates with the surrogate. So it's as if you are inside the robot. And so this could be the future of space exploration, that our connectome will basically drive mechanical surrogates, will be superhuman, will be able to live on Jupiter and Mars and different kinds of hostile environments, and will be able to explore the universe in this way, being immortal.
So once we've nailed this technique, we could just beam our brains anywhere in the galaxy, I suppose.
Right. In fact, I say that even in the next century, consistent with the laws of physics, because I am a physicist, we'll be able to put the connectome on a laser beam and shoot the laser beam into outer space. It would take us 1 second to go to the moon, about 20 minutes to go to Mars, riding on a light beam. And on Mars and on the moon would be a surrogate. And so you would basically live your life as a robot on the moon, Mars, or wherever. And so this is the cheapest, most effective way of space travel. Forget the booster rockets, forget weightlessness, forget cosmic rays. Think about riding consciousness on a light beam.
I love this idea of becoming a superhuman robot that can fly around in space and everything. But, well, firstly, would it still be me? Would it not just be a copy? And secondly, what about all the things that make us human, like having sex, eating? Would they just disappear?
No, you'll be able to have super sex. You'll be able to have different kinds of phenomena and sensations that you can only dream of today, and you'll do it in robotic form. Now, the question is that really you? Well, if you define you as basically the wetware of your brain and the software that governs the wetware, then, of course, then when you die, that's gone. That's not going to come back. But this is a very reasonable facsimile of you with all your memories, all your personality quirks, everything being digitalized and becoming immortal.
Has there any science been done yet that might imply that this could actually happen?
Yes, on a primitive scale. We are children when it comes to being able to map the brain. But with optogenetics, we've been able to actually look at the neural pathways for certain kinds of behaviors. This was once considered far beyond anything we can do, and we do it. We use genetic engineering to modify the neurons of a certain pathway so that when you turn on a flashlight, it fires. It fires, and by firing, you can actually trace the pathway for certain kinds of behaviors. With a flashlight, you can make a mouse, for example, chase its tail, or a fruit fly take off. And this has changed the entire scientific landscape. In fact, the Nobel Prize will probably go eventually to the inventor of this technique because it has been a game changer.
Well, I look forward to becoming an immortal space jumping robot. Thank you very much.
Absolutely amazing. Michio Kaku, who's the professor of theoretical physics at the City College of New York.